We're going to talk about Shavuot again. Last week we began with the part one of Shavuot, and I spoke specifically about why the disciples waited. Shavuot, why the disciples waited. And because the outpouring of the Spirit occurred on Shavuot, known as Pentecost in the church world, and it was at the same time that the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, the same holiday, that is, the Torah was given at Mount Sinai thousands of years before. And so last week we talked about why the disciples waited, and they waited for the coming of the new covenant and the outpouring of the Spirit. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 10, because today we're going to talk about Israel and the nations. Genesis chapter 10, Israel and the nations. Good time to talk about the subject with all the horror going on in Israel right now, and to see what God's purposes are for the nation of Israel and the rest of the nations. So Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. Genesis 10, verse 5. Now this is going to be a little different talk, so hope you'll be able to follow me along a little bit. Genesis 10, 5. It says this: "From these, the maritime peoples spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language." And then jump over to verse 32. Verse 32. It says this: "These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their lines of descent within their nations. From these, the nations spread out over the earth after the flood." All right. By the way, I should have mentioned, tomorrow, by the way, is our, this is a commercial, our leaders meeting tomorrow at 9:30. That's in the bulletin. Just look in the bulletin for all the announcements. And the other thing that's important is Wednesday, again, we start our Hebrew classes, and the Matthew study resumes on Wednesday. Sorry, back to the scriptures. All right, now, Genesis chapter 10. Now, what's interesting here is this is the first place where the word nations is mentioned. In fact, Genesis 10 is where God actually establishes the nations that come forth out of Noah's descendants, out of Noah's sons. Now, what's interesting about the establishment of the nations is that it occurs before the establishment of Israel. Okay, the nations begin before Israel starts, okay? And there's two very important Hebrew terms in verse 5 that I wanted to explore for a minute, because they reappear constantly in the scriptures. So look at verse 5, chapter 10, verse 5, and it says, again, it says that these maritime people spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations. Now, the word clans is the word mishpachot, okay, which is where we get the word mishpocha from, which means family. Those of you that have ever heard Sid Roth, he always says, shalom mishpocha, you know, shalom family. Well, the word mishpocha or mishpachot, which is the plural, means families or clans, okay? So in other words, these groups, these clans that came forth out of Noah's descendants spread out and they became goyim. And the word goyim in Hebrew means what? Nations, okay? It means nations. Now, in Jewish tradition, or I shouldn't say in Jewish tradition, but among Jewish people, they'll often refer to a person as a goy, which means a Gentile, which is kind of a slightly derogatory term and everything. But actually, the word goy, whereas it could be translated Gentile, really means nation, okay? And so the idea here is that God sent forth these groups, these tribes, these mishpachot, and they became goyim, they became nations that were established throughout the various parts of the earth. Now, the rabbis calculated in Genesis chapter 10 that when God established these nations, there were 70 nations. It becomes very important later on. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at the next stop on the trip. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll see these words again. Genesis 12, this is where God calls Abraham. But notice it's very important what he says here. The Lord says this. He says to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." Notice this. Abram at this point was a member of another nation. He was not a Jew. He was not part of Israel. He was a member of a nation that lived in today would be called present-day Iraq or Babylon back then or whatever. And now what he says next in verse 2 is critically important. He says this: "I will make you into a goy gadol." Goy gadol. That means a great nation. I will make you into a great nation. So in other words, out of the nation that that Abraham came out of, God was going to make a nation from him that was going to be known as a great nation, a goy gadol, okay? And then in verse 3, this is one of the most important verses in the entire scriptures, okay? This is a foundational scripture. Genesis 12:3 says this, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the mishpachot, okay, all the clans, all the tribes on the earth will be blessed through you. So in other words, through Abraham's nation, which came out of another nation, he's going to use this new nation to bless all the other nations on the earth, okay? Very important concept. That this nation, the nation of that Abraham comes from, or excuse me, that he becomes a nation in which God's going to use to bless all the other groups throughout the entire earth. Turn with me to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. We're going to see these words again. We've shared the scripture before. Exodus 19. Now this is Shavuot. This is Mount Sinai. This is where God gives the law, okay, to the Jewish people. But what he says here is very important in verse 5 and 6. He says this, Exodus 19, 5 and 6, if you obey me fully, keep my covenant, then out of all the goyim, out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a mamlechet kohanim, a kingdom of priests and a goy kadosh, holy nation. So in other words, out of all these nations, you're going to be a priest, a group of priests, and a holy nation. Now, this is what's ironic about this statement. You see, Jews look upon Gentiles, and they kind of look upon them derogatorily as goys or goyim. You know, it's kind of a negative thing. But here, God says Israel is a goy kadosh. In other words, it's a holy nation. In other words, Israel is as much a goy as a nation as regular goys are, Gentiles. It's just that God has pulled them and set them apart to be a holy nation for what purpose? To bless the other nations, to bring blessing and to bring knowledge of God's ways to all the other nations of the earth. So you see what God's done here, because this is so important. If you want to understand the plans of God for the earth, this is the understanding, that God has established himself nations. He's taken one nation out of that nation, and he's going to use that nation to bless all the other nations throughout the earth. That's the purposes of God. Now, here's what's interesting. In the scriptures, and you don't hear this much. See, when you go to various places, you don't hear much about Israel and the nations. You know, if you go to a church, you hear about the church. If you go to the synagogue, you hear about the Jewish people and social problems and things like that. But you don't hear much about God's purpose for Israel and the nations. And yet, the scriptures speak of this subject again and again and again. Let me just give you some examples of what I mean. In other words, the totality of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, constitutes a tremendous amount of material on Israel and the nations. For instance, the obedience of Israel is specified vis-a-vis the nations. So in other words, Israel is not to be like the other nations. They are to be holy and apart, separate from the nations, okay? Another place, it talks about Israel being an example to the nations. In other places, it talks about the fact that if Israel is not obedient to the Lord, they will be overrun by the nations. And then at other places, it says, if they are disobedient to the Lord, they'll be exiled to the nations. And then it says when they come back to God, they will be regathered from the nations. See, that's the whole focus, is all this kind of interplay between Israel and the nations, back and forth, back and forth. Now, there's a reason for all this, which we're going to get to in a minute. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And believe this, it has it all to do with Shavuot and what we're doing today. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Isaiah 2, verse 2. It says this, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and kal goyim will stream to it. All the nations will stream to it. In other words, God's saying in the last days, all the nations are going to stream to Israel to learn of the ways of God. Why? Because Israel is to be the priestly nation. They are the ones who are representatives of God to all the rest of the nations, and they come to learn about the ways of the Lord. Turn with me to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Now, Isaiah 11 introduces a person known as the branch of the Lord, which is referring to the Messiah. Okay. But there's a very interesting relationship among the Messiah, Israel, and the nations. It's a very important kind of interrelationship. Now, according to Isaiah 11, which we've read before, the Messiah is to bring peace and justice to the earth. So everybody's under the power of God. But then we jump down to verse 10, and we're going to see these famous words again. It says this, "In that day," it says, "the root of Jesse," which is the Messiah, "will stand as a banner for the peoples, and the goyim," okay, "the nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." So in other words, it says in the last days that the nations, the goyim, will come and they'll rally to the Messiah in Israel. But then it goes on to say something also interesting in verse 12. It says, "He will raise a banner for the nations," and notice, "and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth." So in other words, the Messiah is not only going to become the rallying place for all the nations, but also he will gather the exiles of the exiled Jewish people who have been exiled to the nations for disobedience. He will usher them back. He will bring them back. So you see, once again, the interrelationship of Israel and the nations, even right here. Jump over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. I know we're referring to a lot of scripture today, but there's some very important points I want to get to here before we finish today. Isaiah 42. It says in Isaiah 42, verse 1, he begins by saying, "Hine," or "here is Avdi." The word, Hebrew word is Avdi, "my servant." In other words, "here is my servant," and then it goes on to say, "whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him," and notice what he's going to do. He's going to bring justice to the nations. So the goal here is that this one is going to receive the spirit and is going to bring justice to the nations. So who is the servant? Who is the Eved, the servant here? Interesting, the chapter before, Isaiah 41, says that the servant is Israel. It's actually the nation of Israel is the servant. So in other words, Isaiah is saying this, is that Israel is going to receive the spirit that's going to bring justice to the nations, which is in fulfillment of all the other scriptures that talks about. And yet, as you read through Isaiah 42, it becomes pretty clear that also the prophet is talking about an individual. And then we jump to verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. It says this, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a leor goyim, a light to the nations. In other words, I'm going to make you a covenant for your own people and a light to the nations. So what is he talking about? You see, basically the prophet is saying this, that the Messiah and Israel as a nation are intertwined. They're kind of tied up into one. Because Israel is called the servant, and yet Isaiah 42 is clearly talking about an individual and not just a nation. So they're tied up together, and together they're going to bring justice and light to the nations. So who brings the light? The light is brought by the Messiah going to the Jewish people, restoring them to himself, and then they take the light to the nations. That's the purpose. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49. Only got a couple other scriptures, and then we're going to look at something. We're going to wrap it up. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Now, Isaiah 49 is again talking about this servant, okay? And if you'd look in verse 3, let's see what it says. He says, "He said to me," this is the Lord speaking to whomever, he says, "you are my servant." In other words, in Hebrew, it is Avdi Ata Yisrael. You are my servant. Who is the servant? In verse 3, Israel. You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. In other words, God is going to display his splendor and his glory in the nation. However, there's a problem here. Jump down to verse 5. It says this, "And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to, now notice, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. In other words, Israel is the servant, and yet Israel brings Israel back to the Lord. How can that possibly be? The answer is because he's talking about a representative of Israel, one who is in Israel, but he's going to help restore Israel to be herself. He represents Israel. That's known as the Messiah. And his purpose is this, verse 6. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I've kept. I will also make you a leor goyim, a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. So in other words, what is he saying here? He's basically saying that Israel is going to be the light to the nations, but because before they can be the light to the nations, they have to be restored to God himself. Who is going to restore them to God? It's going to be the servant, and the servant is the Messiah. He is the one who represents Israel and restores her to himself. Now, here's the tricky part if you haven't already gotten lost. Turn with me to chapter 49, verse 22. 49:22. Now, before you read this, here's the picture. God's plan is to use Israel to be a light to the nations so that all nations will come to know the living God. However, Israel has to be restored herself to the Lord. Okay. And so the Messiah comes and he's going to restore Israel to the Lord so that then she can become a light to the nations. But let's see what it says next. Isaiah 49, verse 22. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon the El Goyim. The nations, I will beckon the nations, I will lift up my banner to the peoples, they will bring your sons and in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders and basically bring them back to Israel. What's he talking about here? He's saying, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to cause the nations to bring Israel, the exiled Jews, back to the land, both literally and figuratively. Literally back to the land, figuratively back to the Messiah. Now, what is this all about? See, here's the catch. This is what's so important. God's plan is this. Israel is going to bless the nations to be the light. The Messiah comes as the representative of Israel, restores Israel to himself to be the light. Then she goes and becomes a light to the nations. But then the nations will bring the exiled Jews back to the land. Why? The reason is because the Jews who've been disobedient to the Lord from way back in history have been exiled to various places around the earth. God uses the Jews to bless the nations, but then he's going to use the nations to bless the Jews. You see, that's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 11, so that no one can boast before the Lord. Everybody blesses everybody else. How is this supposed to happen? You see, this is where God's purposes become so complex. You see, God says this, that if the Jewish people disobey his laws, they will be exiled into the nations. But when they're exiled into the nations, they are used of God to bless the nations. Then the question is how the nations are going to treat the Jews in their midst. If they bless the Jewish people in their midst, they'll be blessed. But if they're cursed, they'll be cursed. Because God tests every nation as to how they treat the Jewish people. And if you look throughout Jewish history, what you find is this. Those nations that have treated Jewish people well have been blessed, and those who have treated them poorly have been cursed. That's always the way it works, because God uses all things for his purposes, and this is his plan. So even though the Jewish people disobeyed the Lord and were sent to the nations, they're still used by God to bring blessing to the nations, and then God wants to use the nations to bless them so no one can boast in the Lord, and all may give praise to him, the one true God. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Now, this is the key. Okay. Finally, this is what we know, but nothing's happened yet because this is what Isaiah is talking about. Then we see, as we come into the New Testament, the Messiah comes to Israel. He only goes to Israel. He only ministers to the Jewish people, okay, because his goal is to restore the Jewish people to himself so that they become the light to the nation. So what does he do? He heals the sick. He casts out demons. He teaches God's ways to make Israel what? A goy kadosh, a holy nation. His goal is to make them a holy nation. So he heals the sick, gets rid of all the demons, because you can't be spiritual and have a demons in you, right? God doesn't have sickness in his kingdom, and he teaches them God's ways so they get right with God, they become a holy nation. Then, of course, we remember he dies on Passover. Okay, why on Passover? Because Passover was the beginning of the first covenant, the old covenant. Israel failed under the old covenant, so Yeshua dies on Passover, showing the ending of the first covenant. Then he resurrects from the dead, okay? And then he says this. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This is what he says. After the resurrection, heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now notice who is here that Yeshua is speaking to. He's speaking to his main disciples, 12 minus 1, because Judas is already gone, right? That leaves 11. This group represents the government of Israel, okay? So the government of Israel, representing in the Jewish disciples of Yeshua, are standing before Yeshua, and notice what he says to them. What are they supposed to do? They are to go and do what? Make disciples of Kol Goyim, all the nations. Just what God originally called the Jewish people to do. Now, we learned last week that the disciples were to wait. Yeshua told them to go, but then he also told them to wait. And what are they waiting for? Acts 1. Acts 1. This is where we're getting ready to wrap up today. Acts 1. This is where we tie this baby together somehow. Acts 1, verse 4. This is after the resurrection, after Yeshua told them they're going to go. He says this, Acts 1, 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, which you have heard me speak about. For John immersed with water, but in a few days he will be immersed with the Holy Spirit." That's what I spoke about last week. Now, we come to verse 6. Interesting question the disciples ask him. They say, "Lord." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, what do they mean by this question? Why are they asking this question? Because the disciples are thinking about the passages in Isaiah, where the scripture says that all the nations are going to come to Jerusalem and learn about the things of the Lord. So they're expecting this to happen just now. But notice what Yeshua's response is in verse 7. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So what does he say? He's saying, not yet. It's not yet for the time for all the nations to come to Jerusalem. Rather, it's the time for Jerusalem to go to all the nations. See, that's the point, is that the disciples were to go to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, then to the ends of the earth, make disciples of all the nations, and then the kingdom would be restored. Acts chapter 2, where I'm going to end. Now we come to Shavuot. Here we are. Now here we are today at Shavuot, or in this week, and Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Shavuot came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, this is Shavuot all over again. Remember, we talked about it last week. The week before, hundreds of years, thousands of years before at Mount Sinai, God gave his Torah at Mount Sinai and called Israel a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation, and a Mamlechet Kohanim, a kingdom of priests. That's what he called them. And he gave them the Torah. Now, in verses 1 through 4, he fills the disciples of Yeshua to help them fulfill this that God's called them to be, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then look and see what happens in verses 5 and 6. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Now remember what we shared last week. God gave the supernatural gift of foreign languages to the Jewish disciples. Why? It's because they began to speak in the languages of the nations so that all nations would learn about the ways of God beginning on this very day. And notice who it is who's speaking these foreign languages of all these nations. It's Jewish disciples of Yeshua as they are fulfilling the mission that God gave them. Now notice who it is that hears them hearing these languages. The scripture says in verse 5 that they were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. What were they doing there in Jerusalem on that day? They were at Shavuot, one of the great pilgrim feasts. Representatives from every Jewish community in the world was supposed to come to Israel, to Jerusalem at Shavuot. Here they are. They all speak the language of whatever nation they're from. Suddenly, the Spirit falls on these Jewish disciples. They start speaking all these languages. They all hear the languages. They hear the proclamation of the gospel. Many, the scripture says that many of these Jewish people come to the Lord on that very day. It said 3,000. 4,000 of these Jewish people from all the nations of the earth came to know Yeshua on that day, received the Holy Spirit, and guess what they did? What do you think they did? They went back to their communities, to their nations, and they began to make disciples of all nations, right? In fulfillment of the mission to be the Goy Kadosh, the holy nation, and the Mamlechet Kohanim, the kingdom of priests. That's what it's all about. See, that's what Shavuot is all about. Now, in conclusion today, here we are, a couple thousand years later, all waiting for the same things that the disciples were waiting for, and we have a march for Yeshua today. Isn't that interesting? Okay? Now, what is that all about? You see, what this march is it's a testimony to the relationship of Israel and the nations. You see, all these groups today are going to be marching from the Chimborazo Park to the Capitol, all going to be raising banners to Yeshua. They represent all different kinds of groups. There's Korean groups that are going to be there. There's Spanish groups that are going to be there. There's African-American groups. There's Jewish groups. Amen, right? All these groups. It's a testimony that the nations have come to know the one true God. And guess who's going to be in the middle of it? In fact, guess who's going to be in the front of the march? It's the Messianic Jewish community. Because we are the remnant of Israel, the believing remnant of Israel, that has proclaimed the gospel to all the nations. And they've asked me, and it really is an honor, I have to say, they've asked me at the prayer rally to pronounce the Aaronic benediction over everyone there at the prayer rally. Why? Because what is the Aaronic benediction? It is a blessing of God upon the people because God's called the Jewish people to bless all nations. You see? It just works out. It's God's purposes, you see? It's not man's purposes. It's not we thought, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to fill what God wants. No. It's what God is doing in these days. And so what I'm saying here in conclusion, basically wrapping this up, is to say this. This is the greatest time in the world to live. We are seeing Jewish people come to faith. The Gentiles have brought many of the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. Isn't it amazing that more Gentile dollars go into funding Jewish return to Israel than Jewish dollars do? Isn't that interesting? It's very true. Christian dollars fund more Jews returning to Israel than Jewish dollars fund them. Because of the fulfillment of Scripture. And at the same time, thousands and thousands of Jewish people are coming to faith all the time. Who leads most of the Jewish people to faith? It's Gentile Christians lead most of Jewish people to faith because it's in fulfillment of what the Scripture says. The Jews went forth to the nations, proclaimed the gospel, and now the nations are bringing the Jews back and restoring them to all that God has in these last days. It's the greatest time in the world to live. I guarantee you, folks, this is the hour. And if you're not in sync, this is the time to get in sync with God. This is the time to be filled with God's Spirit on this Shavuot. This is the time to come to know the Messiah, to dedicate your life to this mission, to see God's kingdom on this earth so that God's ways would be proclaimed among the nations. Let's pray. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, O God. We thank you, Lord, for your calling of Israel on the nations, and then the role of the nations for the land, for the nation of Israel, O Lord. Father, give us wisdom and understanding of this, Lord. But Father, don't let any of us be excluded from this great plan, O God. Father, let none of us miss this, Lord. Because Father, we know there's only one way. Whether a person is a Jew or a member of the nations, a Gentile, they come one way, and that's through Yeshua the Messiah, O God. Because he's made the two one in him. Lord, we don't want to be on the wrong side today. Father, I pray for anybody in this room today that doesn't know you, that hasn't said yes to Yeshua. Lord, let this be the day that they come to know the great Messiah, King of Israel, and the Savior of the world, and that they become filled with your Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, O God. And Father, to be able to fulfill the destiny that you called for each and every one of us here, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God. And I just pray in the name of Yeshua right now, for anyone who doesn't know Yeshua, this is the time. Just say yes to him in your own heart. Say, yes, I'm going to receive it. I don't understand it fully, but I want to get right with God, and I'm going to give my heart to him, have my sins forgiven, and come into a living and vibrant relationship. And Lord, fill me now with your Spirit, with your power, O God, so that I might fulfill your calling and destiny on my life. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.